Hello and welcome to the McHale Report podcast. My name is John McHale, Group Editorial Director for Military Embedded Systems and host for today's event. This podcast is sponsored by Aerospace Tech Week, which will now take place on June 23rd and 24th, 2021 in Toulouse, France. The show encompasses six different events: Avionics Expo, Connected Aircraft Europe, Aerospace Testing Europe, MROIT, Flight Ops IT, and FACE. To learn more about Aerospace Tech Week 2021, please visit www.aerospacetechweek.com. Now let's get started. Our guest today is Chris Togiera, Recording Systems Director at Pentek up in Upper Saddle River, New Jersey. And today we're going to talk about ultra-wideband radar systems, how to capture signal data, FPGAs, and so much more. So Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So to get started, could you please provide a brief description of, you know, what you do at Pentek, your responsibilities, any company background, and your own history in the defense industry?
Sure. John, I've been with Pentek for 25 years. I serve now as you mentioned, as the Recording Systems Director. But I started off here as a software engineer. I worked through the Applications Engineering Group, managed that group for a while, and over that time worked with our customer base, who is primarily defense industry players, different primes and directly Defense Department. And we worked on systems like radar systems, signal intelligence systems, EW systems, things like that. And through the years, got a good feel for the industry. And we decided about 15 years ago to develop a new division of the company that makes recording systems, leveraging the signal acquisition products that we make here. So currently serving as that director of that department, I still work with these customers all the time with engineers that are architecting new solutions. And we focus on integrating the latest technology to solve the problems that they're trying to solve. And that's the basic day-to-day operations around here.
Thanks, Chris. Enough to keep you busy, I'm sure. And as I mentioned, we talked a little about ultra-wideband radar in the opening, and we're talking about how embedded technology is used to gather the signal data they generate, which is a big part of what you do at Pentek. Could you kind of, let's set the table, can you kind of tell me a little bit, what are the big trends driving that segment of the military radar market? I mean, what are the typical requirements you see coming out of the DoD in the platforms and from the prime contractors for these type of radar systems?
Yeah, so, you know, radar systems keep getting wider and wider in terms of their bandwidths, the signal acquisition bandwidth, and then you obviously have frequency hopping within the radar systems. So being able to acquire as much bandwidth as possible, you know, with a recording system to allow somebody to analyze what's going on over a huge array of the RF spectrum is really where things are going wider and wider, which, you know, becomes challenging because wider signal acquisition turns into faster data rates and more information being stored. So I see the industry getting wider in that regard. In addition to that, things that you always see, phase coherency, you know, for phase radars, things like that, are always a big part of it. The ability to capture you know, gated pulses from a radar system is always very important as well. But I think the real trend is, again, going wider, multi-channel, wider and wider bandwidths.
Technically, though, there's some challenges there because what the DoD wants is, well, they have a never-ending thirst for more bandwidth and more data. So what are the big challenges that you guys face from a technical side of capturing that signal data that's generated by these ultra-wideband radar systems?
Yeah. So obviously, when you're capturing that much bandwidth, you need to be able to sample that bandwidth at a very, very high speed, which means you're digitizing data at very, very high sample rates. We're talking about multi-gigahertz, multiple gigahertz samples per second. So obviously, you're generating a tremendous amount of data, and being able to capture that to disk is, and not drop any samples on the floor is the most important thing. So storage technologies, which have been improving over time, have allowed you to architect solutions that will capture all that information. But then also, when you're moving at data at very high rates, being able to achieve phase coherency when the samples are being acquired at hundreds of picoseconds, being able to have a phase stability and phase coherency across channels is also very challenging. And you know, there's hardware that's constantly evolving to allow you to do these types of things, including storage technologies, like I said, and also high-speed A to D converters. But I think that's really where a lot of the challenges come through, and where we try to address them ourselves.
you know, and speaking of what you guys do at Pentek and your other applications you play in, whether it's electronic warfare, radar signal processing, you leverage a lot of FPGA solutions. How do FPGAs factor into the recording systems? Is there a typical interface used for connecting with the radar systems to gather the signals?
Yeah, so the FPGAs are, they're really the main engine that drives the signals that are coming in analog and that are digitized, moving those digital signals through the systems. So they're interfacing directly to the high-speed A-to-D converters. Typically in a signal chain, you have a signal that's up at an RF frequency that's coming through an RF tuner down converter, bringing it down to an IF that can be sampled by this high-speed A-to-D. But that A-to-D is pumping out data either through an LVDS interface or even now serial JESD-based interfaces. The FPGA's job is to interface to that. So high-speed serial links into that FPGA are critical. High-speed interfaces are critical. But then taking all of that data, moving it through the system, doing some type of on-the-fly processing, whether it's something simple like a digital down conversion, or if there's something more complex like a threshold detection algorithm or some other type of algorithm for data reduction, that can all be done in real time on an FPGA. So that's another big critical role that the FPGA plays in the process. And then on the back end of the FPGA, once you've got the data in from the A to D, you've gone through the processing, being able to pump that data out to get to a storage mechanism is critical. And typically the FPGAs have high-speed PCI Express interfaces that can be instantiated in there, or high-speed other interfaces like 100 gigabit Ethernet, things like that. So the FPGA is the real, it's the guy that's doing the real work in that system there. And that's what makes them really critical in the type of systems that we're producing.
And you guys use Xilinx FPGAs pretty much exclusively, correct?
Yeah, we're pretty much exclusively in Xilinx's house. Xilinx has had a great roadmap through the past in terms of providing the right kind of interfaces through the chips. And also, they've expanded the amount of processing blocks in there, DSP blocks, and the ability to add all of the resources that you need inside of an FPGA to be able to accommodate these faster and faster A to D converters that come out.
Streaming rates. How are the streaming rates? Do you see them increasing? And how does that impact, if they increase, how's that impacting the use of PCI Express for data movement?
Yeah, so the wider bandwidth radar system there is, the higher the streaming rate that you're going to require in the end, which is always the challenge. In terms of PCI Express, it's a great question because PCI Express goes from generation to generation. In the beginning, before PCI Express, we were using standard PCI interfaces, but as you went from Gen 1 to Gen 2 and then to Gen 3, PCI Express has been wonderful in doubling the rates at which you can move data through those interfaces. Now, PCIe Gen 4, there was a long lag between Gen 3 and Gen 4 proliferating that type of technology through different hardware has been painful for a lot of people. But as it's now starting to come out, we're seeing another doubling in terms of the streaming interface and the bandwidth that can be acquired there. So Gen 4 is going to play a huge role in accommodating these higher bandwidths. And there are plans to have Gen 5 out. Hopefully, we'll be seeing that a few years down the road as well. Again, doubling the streaming rates that you can move data from the FPGA into an interface like the tech storage technology.
And that doubling, you said it's going to continue for, I guess, for decades in that terms of that?
So far, there are plans for Gen 4. Well, Gen 4, like I said, is proliferating, but there's plans for Gen 5 down the road. And as long as serial interfaces can be, the speeds can increase on the serial interfaces, you should see further generations beyond that. Right now, I'd say within the next 5 years, you should be seeing a Gen 5 interface. Beyond that, we'll see. Technology moves so quick, it's hard to say where things go beyond 5 years. But I think within 5 years, you'll be seeing a doubling from where we are today.
We talked about data streaming rates. We talked about the ultra-wideband radar. We talked about FPGAs. What about the actual recording of the data? Are there challenges there? I mean, are there standards that you adhere to for recording?
Absolutely. So for many years, the serial ATA interface has been a standard. It's common. You see it in computers. Laptops have serial ATA drives. And that interface, we finally have reached the limits. And that as well also went from generation to generation all the way through a Gen 3 interface. But we've reached the limits in terms of what you can do with that serial interface. And now what you're starting to see and what's going to become extremely popular is NVMe-based storage solutions, which NVMe is using a PCI Express interface. It's a four-lane PCI Express interface. Now drives that were typically limited to not theoretical, but realistic write rates of about 500 megabytes per second are starting to show up with 2+ gigabyte per second write rates. And as we move to PCIe Gen 4, you're going to see drives that are 3 and 4 gigabytes per second. You're starting to see them now for that matter. So what we've traditionally done is we've striped an array of many SATA drives in a system to achieve very high aggregate rates, giving us rates in the gigabytes per second. Now where you're getting gigabytes per second on a single drive and you start to stripe them, you really have the ability to store a tremendous amount of data. So the evolution of PCI Express and this NVMe-based interface is really changing the whole game in terms of how fast we can move data to disk. And that's really where the future is. It's really the future is now, but it's going to get better and better as the Gen 4 devices start to proliferate through the community.
Question for you there, and I'm kind of just thinking about this and how the military always follows the consumer technology a little bit later. So consumer commercial storage technology, how much behind is the military in terms of adapting that for, you know, use for, as they would be, let's say, with signal processing chips from Intel or someone else? Is there a lag time with commercial versus military? Or are you guys able to adapt that stuff pretty quickly?
So we take measures ourselves to ruggedize the components that we use. So we're able to often use commercial components and then perform the ruggedization on a level outside of that. But you will see, manufacturers that are building quote-unquote military rugged devices, you'll see them catch up. There is a lag, to your point. I think the data center market is really driving data storage technology right now because they're selling millions and millions of drives, for storing everything. So that's the driver, and there's a little bit of a lag, but, we're not too far behind.
And speaking of lag, I'm going to take it back to the technical side. So when you're actually doing the recording, is it all continuously done in real time or are there some latency challenges?
It's all continuously done in real time in the sense that the entire mission that we have is to not drop any samples on the floor. And that's a necessity. If you lose any samples, you lose all your signal integrity. You lose everything. So our job is to maintain every bit of data that is sampled. In terms of latency, there's a time associated with taking that signal that's being sampled and bringing it to disk. But at the end of the day, every sample needs to be there. So we tend to worry about the bandwidth, the real-time bandwidth in the system, and making sure that it can capture all of the information that's necessary, and are not so concerned about the amount of time that it takes to get there because it's a recorder. At the end, all the information needs to be there. How long it took to get there isn't critical. And when I say how long, we're talking about milliseconds. We're not talking about long periods of time. But again, as long as all the information is recorded, that's all anybody really cares about.
It's so fast that you and I wouldn't notice it.
That's right.
I touched on this earlier. How are the military's continued reduced size, weight, and power requirements pretty much for everything? How does that impact recording systems, or does it not really?
It does. So when you are a good way to actually talk about this is to go back to rotating drives, 3.5-inch rotating drives. When you built up a recording system 15 years ago, before there was solid state technology, and when 2.5-inch rotating drives weren't moving data very fast, you had these big rack mount chassis with many, many disks that required a tremendous amount of space to be able to do something at a very high speed. Now solid state flash is small and it's fast, and FPGAs are small and they're powerful, and AD converters are small and they're fast, and we shrink everything down into very small products. So the technology enhancements have allowed us to be able to reduce our size, weight, and power for that matter. So we are able to do things now in small packages, small little boxes that once required multiple inches of rack space in a 19-inch rack. So technology, it's a wonderful thing because not only are things going faster, but they're getting smaller at the same time.
It reminds me of how back in high school, I would program on these big 5.5-inch floppy disks, right? We do a graphics program in Turbo Pascal, and now you could take all the computers we had in that class and stick them on a thumb drive or and have plenty of room left over. So
I have a Commodore 64 with a 5.25-inch drive base sitting in my office, and I show kids that walk in here this computer, and they get a good chuckle out of it.
That was my computer. That's where I built some of the stuff on. I got to ask you a question. So is that still usable? Do you demonstrate it for them?
I don't have it operational, and I haven't taken the time to get it to operate. But at some point in time, I think I have enough of the components to be able to reconstruct it and get it back to a working order. But right now, it's a museum piece for the most part.
That's great. I don't know what happened to mine all those years ago, but I still have some of the disc. I buried them in a box somewhere in the basement. But so speaking of the past, let's take it a step forward. I'm going to put your, crystal ball on here. Predict the future. Like, let's say 5-10 years from now, what embedded technology, FPGAs, recording technology standards, what is going to be the game changer in recording systems for military signals, whether it be radar, electronic warfare, what have you?
That's a great question. I wish I had a crystal ball. But I think this NVMe storage technology is changing the game right now, and it's going to continue to do that because it's PCI Express based, and because PCI Express has a nice roadmap to the next gen, which always doubles the speed. So I think doubling the speed by means of this PCI Express technology will allow interfaces to accept much wider bandwidth signals. That FPGAs are they keep adding more resources inside as well, and that's going to be necessary because as A to D converters get faster, you what you're doing is you're placing the samples inside the FPGA in parallel, so you need as many resources as possible. So FPGA growth, NVMe technology growth, high speed A to D converters, that's going to drive these systems towards wider and wider bandwidths. And we're going to continue to take advantage of this technology. And I think 5 years from now, you'll see systems that are recording 30 plus gigabytes per second versus the systems that are going about in a small package versus the systems that are now going about 12 gigabytes per second, 13 gigabytes per second. I think you're going to see some really nice, very wide bandwidth and high-speed data recorders in about 5 years.
Fantastic. And the Commodore 64 will continue to gather dust in the museum. Seriously, that was a great chat today, Chris. Thanks for taking the time to sit down with me on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
It was very nice talking to you, John. I appreciate it.
Thank you. This podcast was sponsored by Aerospace Tech Week, which will now take place June 23rd to 24th, 2021 in Toulouse, France. The show encompasses 6 different events: Avionics Expo, Connected Aircraft Europe, Aerospace Testing Europe, MRO IT, Flight Ops IT, and FACE. To learn more about Aerospace Tech Week 2021, please visit www.aerospacetechweek.com. And thank all of you today for listening to the McHale Report podcast. Look forward to seeing you on future broadcasts.